it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. Now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And it is a good Tuesday afternoon.
So far, so good. We hopefully get some rain today. I mean, gee whiz, it's...
So, is your softball season over now, or...?
It is over. Yes, we lost in the playoffs. It was a riveting extra inning ball game, and we fell short by one run. I picked the wrong game to have my worst day at the plate. I fouled out twice and lined out, and I didn't do very well. I mean, I had probably the best batting season I ever had this year.
Usually you have trouble. You start off a little slow, and then you work your way up through the season. But you started off pretty decent this year,
I was pretty good all year, except for the last game. I fizzled miserably. Oh, well, it didn't make the papers, did it?
No, it did not.
Oh, good.
At least not yet. We'll see.
But it was fun, and it was good to, you know, we did everything social distance. Every chance they had during the inning, they wiped the ball down with Clorox wipes, which was amazing. They couldn't even find it. We took our own lawn chairs to stay socially distanced. So they did a very, very good job. But there was quite a few guys who just felt they had to sit out this season. I certainly don't blame them. But they did a good job. I have to say that.
Yeah, it's just it's very interesting that I think one of the things going on right now is the big debate, and more schools, because I don't know, our governor, who had a lot of backbone to start with, suddenly seems to have no backbone, won't tell schools they can or can't open, and won't tell people they can or can't play. Only if they break all the rules will he intercede. But I have two problems. One, you've got parents protesting that the kids can't play. And on the other hand, you've got parents protesting that their kids have to go to school in some places. So why is it that it's safe to play sports in a especially a contact sport like football, but it's not okay to send them to school?
Well, it is very, very confusing, which this year is. I think Copley has decided in Cuyahoga Falls and some of the other schools who are going to start classes this coming week, this week maybe, they're going to do it by remote learning. And then they're allowing their students to participate in fall sports. Now, some of the small sports I can see, golf and maybe even cross country, there's not a lot of contact there. But certainly football is a head scratcher. I just saw the other day up there in North Homestead that they had to shut everything down because a couple of young men had tested positive. And then Highland High School has to miss their first game this coming week because a couple of kids have tested positive. So I guess the question is, in some of these, I guess, pro-playing advocates, is that okay? They get COVID-19, they don't really get sick, and it's like the flu, so carry on. And that herd mentality is the way to conquer this thing. And the only problem with that theory is it's not like the flu where you can take it, but you know, you get the flu, you stay in the house, and in a few days you're fine.
Yeah.
This, if it's transmitted to vulnerable people, can kill them.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot greater numbers than the flu. So, and there's a vaccine for flu too. I mean, that's another thing. Yeah. So,
well, you know, I just found out another associate of mine. I won't call him a friend, but I do know him, and he knows me. He came out with it as a mission of the story of his fight with the COVID-19. How utterly unbelievable it is. And yeah, he's probably about my age, and I had no reason. He doesn't even know where he was even exposed to, except maybe in a doctor's office, you know.
Wow, he's that old?
Yeah, that old.
Wow.
But he talked about his struggle and his battle with it, and he was everything but hospitalized. He was very close to that. And even just it being at home, battling it for, I think he battled it for 3 weeks. And all the terrible things it did to him. And some of these things linger, which is one of the reasons that the Big Ten was talking about they were concerned about the health of the athletes because of some of these things that they don't know could be a lifetime. Now, then I got to thinking that came out in the news yesterday how there were, seven or eight NFL teams that came out with a bunch of false positives.
Right.
And supposedly every single one of those was wrong. It was all due to the same testing facility. And it does make you wonder at this point how many of these cases that are symptomatic, might actually be a false.
Again, this year should be... The symbol for this year is one huge, gigantic question mark, isn't it? It's the unknowns are scary, and because they're unknowns, people are saying, well, it's not as bad as it. 175,000 people have died for COVID.
Yeah, that part is not unknown. 175,000 yes. people, and growing. We're losing about 1,000 people a day. 1,000 people a day.
Yeah, I mean that's serious, and we really, and they think that's an understatement of facts because
the early stuff didn't even get detected. My neighbor had it. I'm almost positive he had it, but he had it in very early January before anybody even knew or heard anything about this.
Well, so that happened to my grandson's barber too. He says I had all the symptoms and I had it back in February and I never was tested for this thing, but I am sure I had it. So, but they claim more like 215,000 to 220,000 people have actually died from this. And then you don't know the lingering effects on your lungs. I guess it's caused a scarring and organs can be affected by it too. Maybe even pianos. I'm not sure, but I know that, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. other things as well, but, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I really don't. And, I mean, the commentary in the paper a couple of weeks ago was that really, really, for the sake of everybody, there shouldn't be any sports at all, except maybe professionals, because they're actually, they can make an adult decision.
Because they're grown-ass men?
Grown-ass men, yes. And you've seen how that works.
I know you were probably more of a high school athlete, certainly, than I was. But I know that most of the jocks did whatever they wanted, no matter what they were told they were allowed to do or not allowed to do.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I went to a Catholic school, and you don't want to run afoul with the... John Sistone at the time, a legend, and because you would find yourself at the end of a paddle, literally, and he didn't let up. So yeah, I mean, I think kids are going to be kids, and you can't control. Look at two Indians pitchers who got on TV and say, we're a team effort, and did exactly the wrong thing. After saying they would follow all protocols and we better stay together, and they still went out and violated things. So, high school athletes, I think people just want to get back to normal and the results be damned. I mean, isn't that the feeling? I mean,
that, you're right. That's the feeling we have that I have into this. It doesn't matter what the risk is. They need to be out there and do this. But they don't need to be in school, but they need to be out there doing their sports.
Well, I think David Brooks, a columnist for the New York Times, is a conservative. He always is paired with Mark Shields on the PBS NewsHour. But a very respectable journalists and well thought out discussions that he has, it says as a nation we have failed miserably to come to the aid of each other. And all we're really asked to do is wear masks and socially distance, and we haven't had the discipline even to do that. And for whatever reason, it's turned political. And my observation is exactly true. I was out, Nancy and I were out on my mighty boat, nuclear powered, by the way, the other day. And we were in the area, the swimming area of the Portage Lakes, and there had to be 40 boats tied together, and people were partying like it was New Year's Eve. It's just, for whatever reason, as a country, as a population, by and large, we just do our own thing. And again, you know, the Greatest Generation of World War II, that would have been unthought of. I mean, they wouldn't think about going out and squandering the resources of the country at the time, that every scrap metal and every bottle and every, you know, people were rationing meat and things like that. A total sacrifice as a society, and we seem to be alien to that. We just don't believe that things are as bad as they are, and I mean, how many people are going to get sick because 100 people were tied up together in all these boats, and I just scratch my head and say, my gosh, it's everywhere. It's just not Ohio. It's everywhere. You see kids at Vanderbilt. You see kids at the University of North Carolina and Duke, and all of them getting together and having parties with no second thoughts about getting this thing. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you can't arrest everybody who's doing this. So I guess the thought is that facts be damned. And if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. I don't know. You know, the argument is 99% of the people who get it will recover and be okay. But we don't know that. But that's what they think. And then the 1% who get it are really, really sick, like your friend.
Right. And then you've got the fact that, you know, here are these people going out and exposing themselves, then bringing it home to their families.
Yes, yes. I guess they don't know. I guess they don't care. I'd rather have this 2 or 3 hours of having a party-like festival, and then if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I mean, that's... What other rationale is there? And, oh, my parents won't get it. They always take care of themselves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But as the convention showed, a healthy 65-year-old man in Phoenix decided after he was told that, hey, he can get together, and went out to karaoke, and 4 days later he was in the hospital, and he ended up passing away. There are just certain type of...
You know that Herman Cain went to one of Donald Trump's, his Tulsa... rally, yeah. He ended up with it and he died.
That's right. I mean, Dick Goddard died of it.
That did finish off Dick Goddard as well. Dick Goddard was one of those guys that had a lot of issues leading up to that.
That's right. He had pre-existing conditions that would lend themselves, if he got it, to be in really big trouble.
But as far as I know, Herman Cain did not, nor did they, you know, that other guy you were talking about. So,
yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, high school's moving everything up. They're playing at least 6 games. And they're going to have playoffs that every team is eligible for.
Now, Akron is still not decided to join until November.
That's right. I think you have to be consistent. If you're going to have, like for the city of Green, which I live in, my grandkids start school Wednesday. The Green is allowing kindergarten through 5th grade to attend school. They have the option of attending school or going online. Everybody 6th grade on is taking online classes. So maybe the thinking there is the kids 5th grade and under have to be somewhere during the day, and the parents may not be able to watch them during the week and give them the option of in class versus the online, but everybody above fifth grade has to go to, online, and yet Green is going to start football. So at least Akron is consistent. Akron is saying, the public schools, that is saying, you know, we're going to wait till November to decide. I don't know who they play. Maybe they'll just have city series after November 1st and play into the second week of December. But that's going to get cold.
Yeah,
of course, with the way the weather is, I don't know.
Yeah. There are other schools like Twinsburg who said they would not be starting, and they have reversed their decision. They are going to be starting. Because we don't need no science, you know.
Yeah, ain't no doctor telling me what to do. Well, you got the big, then, you know, you have a movement, too, of the Big Ten players wanting to play and the Pac-12, and then you got, it's just crazy. I mean, the NCAA doesn't have the, let me see,
Kahunas?
The Kahunas, okay, to say, you know what, we're making it all in the fall. I mean, again, sports like golf and perhaps tennis.
Except at collegiate level, those don't make money. Those cost money. And if you don't have your big gun of football with people in the stands, although they can make money through television, but if you don't have people in the stands, then then that's what supports all these other sports and then some.
Mm-hmm. And the television rights too. So I don't know. Coach Day of the Ohio State Buckeyes is saying, well, let's not wait till spring. Let's start in February and end up in end of April and playing our games. And that way the kids won't be battered to the point where they can't play the following fall.
Right.
So
there seems to be a certain amount of validity to that, except that we know what January and February can bring in Ohio. January brings a cold, and February brings snow in general.
Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been bad the last 2 years. You know, in the last three winters, I've only had to use my snowboard twice.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been horrific. It's been cold. It's been cold, but snow-wise, it hasn't been that much. Maybe we're due. I don't know. It just seems things are getting warmer and warmer every year, and we shall see. But
careful, you're heading towards science there.
I know. I shouldn't. But anyway, it would make some sense that if they can stand the conditions in the middle of February to start the games, go at it.
I don't know how February is much worse than December when they're finishing their season.
Yeah. So why not, if that's what they want to do, have at it. But once again, who knows how long this thing will continue to be a plague upon us. And I'm just concerned about the kids' health. And even though they tend to get over this rather quickly, just by virtue of being young and fit, but some do get really, really ill, and some can take it to their parents and grandparents, and we shall see. I just simply don't know what's the right answer anymore. I really, really don't.
Well, one thing we do know is we have some baseball going on.
We do. First of all, I don't know if today was, not today, but Monday was supposed to be the day that they were going to decide on bringing Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac back, but I have not heard even the latest yet on those two guys. No, we got the.
You know, you talked a little bit about the meeting last week that I hadn't heard about. Now there's been plenty out about that meeting and how vocal the teammates were about just letting these guys come straight back and against that. And that is something that we now – you had heard that and it was correct, but now that it's been confirmed, I mean, one of the guys – was it Oliver?
Yes.
Who said he would COVID opt out of the rest of the season if they just brought them directly right back.
Yeah, Oliver Perez is a almost 20-year veteran. I'm sorry, 18. He's been in the league a long time. He's one of those left-handed specialists that come in and has been very effective for the tribe. And he just said, hey, listen, if they come back, I'm taking my leave, on my COVID-19 leave. And I simply don't know what the front office is going to do. Whether if they kept Clevenger for another 10 days, they would get a whole year of service that would be added on to where the Indians would control their contract. So maybe that's a thought. They're also thinking that the atmosphere may be so poisoned, and this is my speculation, that they will use them as trade bait. There's a lot of teams that need starting pitching, and heaven knows we need hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. It's sad. I mean, we go into some games and do all right, but I mean, my goodness, Sunday's game was pathetic. It's so anemic sometimes. So I don't know. I don't know. I guess if I had the choice between the two to trade, would be Clevenger. He's the oldest of the two. He's only 25.
And he seems to be the one that they're even more upset about. Well, Plesac got his when he went on his 20-minute rant on online. Rant about, look, we stayed safe, we did this, we did that, but he still broke the rules. But Clevenger actually kind of lied or didn't tell the truth through omission. So he literally lied to his teammates. And that's what really upset them about Clevenger.
Well, first of all, I am extremely concerned. Just because the lack of optimism coming from the Cleveland front office about the health of Terry Francona. There's something going on there that seems to me to be of a very serious nature. And they keep saying, you know, he's coming back, and then there's these backslides in his health. I don't know what he has, but it doesn't sound like it's a minor situation. And I'm extremely concerned, and they're talking in terms of having backup plans to replace them. So when they start talking in that vein, I get a little worried about he's a good guy. He's a great manager. And for example, though, let's say he was able to return back to the squad and manage him, and you have some clown like Clevenger not telling somebody he's been up exposed to other people, and brings that back to him.
Yeah.
So and he's had health problems like heart, and now he's got a gastrointestinal problem, which could be a whole variety of different things.
Right.
But it just sounds like it's pretty serious. And, you know, when you don't have the usually Chris Antonetti saying, oh, you know, he'll be back, it just doesn't sound like they have that kind of enthusiasm that, okay, yeah, he'll be back. It's no big deal. It apparently is a very big deal. And I think the players are saying, my goodness gracious, come on, we got this great manager. You're going out screwing around, and you could have exposed him and really seriously affected what he's already has been experiencing.
Yes.
And I just think it's just really, really ticked them off. So at least Plesac didn't expose other players, because they got an Uber or something to drive them back from Chicago.
Yes, yes.
And then they made them drive up separately in their own cars in Detroit to address the team after they, you know, tested negative. And the team went after them. And I don't know if it's poisoned the clubhouse or not, but it certainly seems like it has. It certainly seemed. I mean, I know Lindor was extremely upset. Even Francona said that 6-minute rant by Plesac on social media was very unfortunate.
Yes.
That's Terry Francona speaking.
Yes.
Meaning he's ticked.
Yeah. Like when Bauer threw the ball in the stands. That was unfortunate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So getting back to, you know, the Indians certainly need at least one of those guys to come back, because Adam Plutko doesn't look like he's the answer right off the bat. And Carlos Carrasco's having some problems.
Yeah.
But you got Bieber and Zavale, and, you know, you got two guys out of your rotation now. That, but that Tristan McKenzie.
I was going to say, you got Tristan McKenzie come up here, but again, nobody's ever seen him up here.
That's right. I mean, he came in. Oh, yeah, you got to give him credit. What a game he pitched for his first. He never pitched Triple A. He pitched in Double A Akron last year and made such an impression after he had some arm problems that they corrected, and he was fun to watch. This kid, 6'5", 165 pounds, he's a string bean. But he generates a lot of velocity out of that body, and he's just interviewing him, and boy, what a breath of fresh air this young man is.
Yeah.
He's just a good young man and has learned the game from his dad, it was just very pleasant to interview and things like that. So, the Indians got some big decisions to make. Again, if I was the general manager, let's say, we're only one game out of first place, and we're playing Minnesota as we this series that we're in right now, and we're a game and a half out. Of course, we're 17-11. And if it wasn't for our pitching, who knows?
But, the important thing is the series we're in right now.
Yeah, it's a very important series. And we got who's pitching tonight? Oh, Savale is pitching. Ben Bieber, who's been fantastic. I mean, my goodness gracious, that's just I think he's Cy Young right now. Of course, we're rapidly approaching half the season.
Yeah, it seems so weird because the season is so short. Where before the season seemed like it would never end, now it's just like, no, you can't be at halfway point yet.
Well, we're at 29 games after Monday night and 60-game season. So you got August 31st trade deadline, and they're in desperate need for hitting in the outfield. The outfield's a mess.
Yes.
Let's look at some of these averages that our team is. I mean, you got Cesar Hernandez, who's done a pretty good job at second base, 275. There's nobody batting over 300. None. Jose Ramirez is now in a funk at 241. Lindor is having a very bad year for him at 245. Carlos Santana, he's really off to a typical slow start, which wasn't the case last year.
Well, except that he's got almost a 500 on base percentage because he gets so many walks. They're not really pitching to him.
Well, they aren't, but I don't know why they're not pitching to him because you got Reyes who's right behind him.
Yeah,
and you would think that he would get more vicious, but he just doesn't look. Now he did win the game the other night against Pittsburgh by hitting an extra inning 3-run blast. That thing was amazing. It just made it over the foul pole. And so let's hope he starts warming up. We really need him. Reyes has got the best average of the team at .293. And he's a threat. We got Ludlow, Jordan Ludlow.
Yeah.
118. 118? You got Mike Freeman at 169. You got Bo Taylor at 048. You got Greg Allen at 143. Hugh Chang at 143. Now, those guys haven't had a lot of bat, but there's really nobody. Delano's the Shields or the other Santana. We got to get another bat. There's no way in this world our pitching can overcome no hitting.
Right.
In the playoffs. I mean, you've got to have.
And how many times have we won? It's been a 2-0 or 2-1 game.
Otherwise, that's right.
We do have,
That's right. It's like Pittsburgh. We won the game Thursday night with Bieber 2-0. And then we won that series. And we swept Detroit the week before, but we lost 2 out of 3. Detroit's got is an up-and-coming team. When they get some better defense and pitching, they'll be a contender. Chicago, the White Sox, if they had our pitching with that hitting,
yes,
watch out.
Yes,
I mean, they're they're virtually tied with us for second place. And, I mean, they got some serious bats on that team. So we better, I don't know. And then you got the uncertainty with Francona, even though I think Sandy Alomar is certainly ready for prime time. And I always thought that Brad Mills was the heir apparent, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, at this point, with Brad Mills opting out for a variety of reasons, as he is allowed, it's kind of taken him out of some of these situations which might have made it, you know, more of the heir apparent type thing.
Yeah. Well, Sammy Alomar certainly would be an extremely good fit.
Well, and
if the worst happens, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just, don't you sense the lack of optimism when you're hearing stories now about Terry Francona? I mean, it's just simply something there that is persistent, that it's almost career-ending for him. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but as an average Joe or Joan reading the sports and listening to the radio and saying that, yeah, he's still having, you know, these procedures and he's still, I don't know. It sounds like a colon problem, and there could be some, I'm not going to even speculate. Who knows? Once you get into that area,
yeah.
It's very bad. It's very, very bad. The ability to come back, it gets so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable that he may not be back this season. But I don't know. I mean, it's just I'm just concerned about the lack of optimism when you talk when they talk about his prognosis. Well, he may be back tomorrow. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just somewhat concerning because he was only supposed to be out of the Pittsburgh series and back for Detroit, and then he's out for the Detroit series, and we don't know how he'll be in the manager spot for the Minnesota series. We just simply don't know at this time. And well, you know, we're so fortunate to have him.
Yeah,
he just has kept us competitive for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
And I think he loves this town. He says, I'm not in the game to make money. I'm doing great. I'm making more money than I ever thought possible. It's helping my family more than me because I have little need for anything spectacular. So, yeah, it's just a good guy. It's just a good guy, and everybody who's ever been under him, unless you go against his better side, and watch out if you do.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned with the Indians, with the hitting, and I'm concerned about the effect of these two pitchers being out of the rotation, because right now you got Bieber, Carrasco, and Sabalier, and you got Plunko and somebody else filling in. And I don't know if Jeffrey Rodriguez or Logan Allen is the answer. You got some other pitchers in the camp, the East Lake camp, the remote location that every team has where the other players are working out. You had Bradley Zimmer sent back to East Lake. He's never come out of his long continuous slump. Now he has been out for almost 2 seasons. But I don't think this kid's ever going to materialize to be a big hitter. He just looks absolutely awkward at the home plate right now. I mean, I'm no expert, but I can see a guy who just doesn't seem to be in rhythm. Yet he had supposedly a torrid summer camp. You got Hugh Chang, who, you know, who is he? He can't replace anybody in the infield because that's where we have our bats.
Yes.
So they really do need, and I'm sure the front office, they don't have to be told this, that they need to get some, if they're going to trade a Clevinger, then they're going to have to get a prime hitting, not a prospect, but a plug-in hitter right away. And there's some teams that desperately need starting pitching, but you know, the thing is, some of these guys, you can't really scout now that may have some potential in their remote locations. Every team has remote locations, so you can't go in and scout them. So we're waiting to see. We're waiting to see. We're not in a horrible position, but my feeling is if we're playing now like we will in the playoffs, we're not going to last long. You just got to hit.
You got to hit something.
I mean, American League team should be scoring at least 5 runs a game. We have the lowest, we're tied for the lowest team batting average in all of baseball. And you got your stars, Lindor, Ramirez, and Carlos Santana, who are struggling. I mean, if they're struggling and we're not getting any, because Howard Aikman, who does seem to be doing okay, he's the only bright star in that outfield right now. But Luke Lowe, he doesn't give me any confidence when he gets to the home plate. Greg Allen hit a nice home run the other Sunday, but I don't think he's more of a villain player. I don't know. They got to start hitting. And Delano DeShields doesn't, he's kind of a guy that hits sprays, singles around the ballpark. He's not a power hitter. You need your outfielders, at least in left and right field, to be power hitters. And we don't have that. So I don't know what the answer is, but we have some depth in pitching, even though Adam Blanco, he gave up a 5-run lead against Detroit, I think on Saturday. And what was it? No, not Saturday. But he gave up a 5-run lead.
It'd be Friday.
Friday. Yeah. And we lost 10-5, and that's not good. He looked like really good the first 2 innings, and then pow, he fell apart. Carlos Carrasco, I don't know. I don't know what's left in his tank.
He said he felt good, but when he came around the second time, they had figured him out or something is what he was saying. But I don't think that's quite really all what the issue was.
No. So, right now, we got Bieber and Savalier doing very well. You got Carrasco doing mediocre at best. And then you got to get Plesac back into the rotation. And you probably need to get Clevinger. But maybe you can overcome Clevinger, trade him, and get something in return. I just think that we got to start hitting. We just got to start hitting. And right now, I mean, Lindor does, I don't know what's with him. I mean, he's the kind of guy, though, who could get hot real fast. And so can Carlos Santana. But they got to start doing something here to make me feel more more optimistic about our future in the playoff, which is only 30 games away.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, it's 30 games away, and right now I'm a little concerned, and I don't know. I just don't know what the answer is with Plesac and Clevinger. It really breached the team.
It does seem it's a serious thing, but does it seem a team-ending reason? I don't know. That seems like that's almost a bit harsh. Especially for the 25-year-old, you know?
Yeah. First of all, I think both of them got the message. They never thought in their wildest imagination that they would be auctioned too easily because of what they did. These athletes think they're the be-all and end-all, and that there's no way a team's going to. So, but they got an earful from their fellow players, and hopefully they've learned a lesson. You can't excuse Clevinger. I mean, at 29 years old, you're not a kid.
No, you're not.
Maybe at 25, I still think at 25 years old, you should have enough maturity to understand the gravity of what you're doing. And
especially,
especially
when you made all these agreements about what you would do ahead of time, you know,
yeah.
along with everybody else who is doing it.
Yeah. So, and then this Tristan McKenzie has really made it interesting as well. Now, he had a great game. I mean, he struck out 10 in his first game. He only gave up one home run, and it was a big one. But then he settled down, and he had command. He had the poise. And there maybe is an occasion where a young man with no crowd there is not as nervous as he would have been with 25,000-30,000 people. So,
well, but that does show his character too, that he let that home run go as early as he did, and he's still able to recover and pitch a heck of a game.
He's 23 years old. He had a strained rotator cuff last year and pectoral strain, yet obviously he was able to get some strength back there in that arm, and he came out of nowhere. Now, I'd never heard anything about Tristan McKenzie until they said, well, he's starting. And I said, wow, who's he? He wasn't on the radar at all for pitching this season. You had
although
Allen and Jeffrey Rodriguez, some of those guys are the ones you thought.
Although Francona must have seen something in him, knowing that, you know, he was one that was optioned to the alternate site.
Yes, yes. I mean, he was one of the, 50 they're allowed to have?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm thinking about even considering bringing back Jake Bowers from the other location. Something to shake up that outfield. It's horrible. I mean, not defensively, but certainly offensively, they're just struggling so bad.
Yes.
And Rick Manning, the analyst for the TV side of broadcasting, said, you know what? They really should consider putting him, Lindor, that is, back in the leadoff position. He seems to be better at that position, batting wise, than he is right now. So you know what? After his rationale for that, I think he may be right. I think he has always flourished as the leadoff guy.
He has.
And I don't know. It seems to me, no matter how good you are, you should be able to bat in any order they put you in. But it seems like this year he's struggling in that, maybe thinking that he's got to do more in the power positions of three, four, and five. But he did pretty darn well as a leadoff guy, and there's nothing wrong with having him as over. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
After 30 games, they should reconsider that. But I guess who would they put at number three?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't put the Shields as somebody they specifically got when they let, Hibnis go to be the leadoff guy.
Yeah.
So you got to put him in third? I don't think so. I mean, they really don't have a guy they can put in there at number three right now, because that's the direction they decided to go. And so they're in a pickle. So yeah, I think they're stuck with Lindor at third because there's nobody else there to replace him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't think Lindor's in jeopardy of being traded this season. I just don't think the atmospherics, the money, and everything else is conducive of them trading him away. It's just a 60-game season. They need all hands on deck who can contribute.
Because it would be. With as many teams that are qualifying, there's also not a big rush at the end of the end of this week here, when it's the end of the trading deadline, that you because there are so many teams that are still eligible, people aren't just going to be having fire sales.
That's right. In it, so you have less incentive to trade away talent because you have, 16 teams out of 30 going to make the playoffs. So if you're a guy at your team at 15 or 16 and you want to stay in the playoff race, you're not going to trade away your good players. I mean, that's just the way it is. So everything is leading to a minimum amount of activity at the trading deadline. So watch it just come be one of the biggest ones ever. Who knows? But I don't think so. So let's cross our fingers for Jerry Francona, cross our fingers for this team, and hope they can get the clubhouse healed from the antics of two of their pitchers. That's okay. And there was no optimism either for the Cavs. My goodness gracious, they were a leading contender for the lottery pick to be number one.
Yeah. And they got
they even said Brad Doherty and replaced Dan Gilbert's son, who's been there for years and years and years. I told you we haven't been very good for many years because we keep sending them to the draft.
Yeah.
So we are a fifth pick. Now, Tom Withers is the Associated Press sports writer for Northeast Ohio. Covers all major sports. And he says, you know what? The Cavs should stop crying about this. Start being good. Stop worrying about your future being on with the lottery picks. Start getting, you know, we haven't had any championships or anything without LeBron James. You're never going to have him. You've got to start doing something to get fan interest in this team because they're boring. They are they're not going anywhere. And it's time to really open the pocketbooks and get some of this top talent into this the Cavs on the Cavs team. It's I don't know. They're looking at a guy from Israel to be number fifth pick, a guy named David Avida or Danny Avida of Israel to come as probably the logical fifth pick. The other four will be taken by other teams. But year after year after year after year after year, we are relying on the lottery and without LeBron James here. I mean, and it's got to end. I mean, this is ridiculous that we're playing to get a lottery pick. Or it does appear that at least they're going into some practices. They're going to be allowed to practice in their own at-home bowl coming here in September.
Yeah.
But there has been no really talk about the Cavs whatsoever, except that they once again are down to the fifth pick, and that's not good. You can get some good talent at number five, but it's not as good as obviously as 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, so, and what you couldn't see, you know, because of the March Madness being cut off, you couldn't get to see what these the top players might do and what they'd look like, you know, in a tough situation like that, you know?
Yeah. You don't hear anything on sports radio about the Cavs. It's just they're a non-factor, and usually there's some discussion, but there was some talk with them. Some of the guys on the Fan were having a fake lottery machine come up and say, "This is hey, let's press the button and see what this shows this time, number one, number four, number five." And it's one of the worst things they even did is number five, and they did. And Tom Withers, who's well respected in Northeast Ohio, said this got to stop. It's got to stop. You got to start playing to get in the playoffs without relying on the lottery every year. And we haven't. I mean, it's just been bad basketball minus Bron. So, what gets you excited about the Cavs?
Nothing.
And
you know, as far as getting other talent to come in here, like you said, open up the wallet. Is that even the answer? Because the question is, who really wants to come to Cleveland?
That's a good question.
And part of the reason is all the reputation they have for what they've done over the last so many years, or what they've done without LeBron. You know,
who did it? Somebody did an analysis without LeBron James on the team. The Cavaliers have only been in the playoffs one time in 50 years, other than the several years that LeBron was on the team and we went to the playoffs. Minus LeBron James, the Cavaliers have only gotten to the playoffs once, and that was the era of Mark Price, Brad Doherty, and some of the other ones as well. So it's sad. It's a sad history that the Cavs have, minus LeBron James. Of course, you got to give him all the credit in the world. We got a world championship 4 years ago, but we can't. You know, you got to start making it something interesting. I wouldn't pay $75 for a mediocre seat to go see them, and that's what the tickets cost.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't see it. I don't watch them on basketball on TV. They're just not that good. They're a good three-quarter team. And they fall apart in the fourth. So I don't know. I would think that they got to do something. And I don't know if it's ownership or I guess eventually it comes down to the person who owns the team. So And then, like you said earlier in the show, is the scares that the NFL has had with these false positives. And you got to be worried about the Browns in general. Even without the COVID-19, you've got some serious injuries that have occurred here. Nick Chubb is coming off a concussion protocol. You've got Kevin Johnson, their starting safety, who had the lacerated liver because somebody fell on him. Wilson, the linebacker, Matt Wilson, he's probably out for the year with a hyperextended knee. It's defense is the Achilles heel of this Browns team, and they're not getting any better. They just signed somebody to come in, somebody who's been around for a long time. They don't have his name here in front of me, but he was with another team and was an MVP, but I have lost my notes here. Anyway, we got to be concerned about the defensive aspect of the Browns. And who knows? I mean, you're talking about a sport. You know, most experts say it's the aerosol effect of this virus that really gets people, because you project every time you speak or yell or sneeze, or the aerosol effect of this sport is where most people get it. And that's why the only good thing is it's outdoors, but you're so, when you tackle somebody, you're in their face, and especially on the line. So I don't know, but I haven't heard too much. I guess people saying that the quarterbacks are looking pretty, Baker is looking pretty good. He's in good shape. We just don't know. We don't have the reporting like right. We normally have.
Well, and even a lot of reporters aren't even really allowed.
No, they do a Zoom
interviews, but nobody's really allowed to even participate at the or go to the practices. If they are, they're limited to just to very, very few, and we have no idea what's actually happening there.
Mac Wilson, who's been sidelined, and Malcolm Smith, who was with Seattle and was the MVP back in 2013 at the Super Bowl, who's joined the team to replace Mac Wilson. So you got a guy who's kind of up there in the years replacing somebody who was up and coming as far as linebacker concerned. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting it's only a couple weeks away. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 weeks away. This is the starting of the NFL season. Of course, the Doofuses, the owners of the team, also known as Haslams, want a variance to have more people at the stadium. I guess you're only allowed in Ohio to have 1,500 people.
Or a certain percentage of whichever is less is the one you get.
Yeah, so 1,500 people. I mean, that's the ceiling, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
So they're asking to have a variance on that, allow more people in. I don't know. I think baseball, at least, and basketball and hockey have got it right. To why jeopardize people in the fans? Because it's, you know, football of all sports is a TV product.
Yeah,
it's at 1,500, or whether it's 1,500 or 10,000, it's not going to make a significant revenue enhancement to justify fans in the stadium. So I don't know. I don't know. Again, I'm afraid that when they have home games, you're going to have, like the party boats out there at Portage Lakes, you're going to have massive crowds in the muni lot regardless.
Yes.
Unless they close the muni lot. I would think they may do that to avoid such a situation if they're not going to have any fans at all or 1,500. I don't know where those folks will park.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you open the muni lot, you're going to have massive tailgaters.
Yes.
And that presents a problem there. You're not going to prevent it. I'm telling you, people are going to go and live their lives.
Well, right, and the... Can they keep, well, unless they close off the muni lot and there's nowhere for them to be, you know, there's, then
they're going to do it anyway. Well, they'll find it someplace else. So I'll meet up at the park and ride and do it there.
Yeah.
You could set up that anywhere. It's kind of cool that they set it up outside the stadium, but they could set that up anywhere.
Yeah. I have not heard of any projections about the Browns this year. Some people have said, you know, it's almost ludicrous with the Browns to make any projection. I mean, we went 10-6 last year thinking that if everything went right, we'd be, you know, make at least the wild card. Other teams are getting better as well. You got Pittsburgh with a Ben Roethlisberger back. I don't know how well he'll play, but certainly the Ravens are the team to beat in our division. And you know, Cincinnati with Joe Burrows, that may be interesting. And Pittsburgh, we'll see. But the AFC has some really good teams, especially that Kansas City team. And the Chiefs are favored, I think, again, to make it to the Super Bowl. And there's other good teams as well. Buffalo is improving. And who knows? Who knows? It's getting tougher for the Browns. They had the opportunity last year, in my opinion, to really get good at a time where other teams were rebuilding.
Right.
And they failed miserably. Just failed miserably. And the jury still. This is a make or break year for Baker Mayfield.
Yes,
it's a make or break year. And he's going to have somebody right behind him who's capable of filling his position. That it's not like last year where he had some unknown talents filling in. And they did of course Baker played a lot of a huge majority of the snaps, but. Yeah, Case Keenum, who's going to be a very capable second quarterback, and if Baker starts missing his assignments, or that once again these teams last year were able to defense him in a different type of scheme against the Browns, it made life very, very tough. Of course, we got some potential, really potential, with our running backs. With Hunt and Chubb, you got two all-star wide receivers. You got some good tight ends, and if you the quarterback though can't get the ball to them, you're just going to have to run a lot. And that'll tick off the receivers and the tight ends. So there's a lot on Kevin Stefanski's plate. In addition to who's going to be calling plays, that's still left up in the air. I think we both have the philosophy that really calling plays should go to your offensive coordinator, and this one we have is certainly capable of calling plays.
Yes.
And Stefanski should get his head coaching roots established before maybe taking on those responsibilities later on in his career. But from all that observation that you can have, it seems like he's running a pretty good camp. But again, you don't have the reporters watching the practices and picking up any kind of controversies that may be occurring. So the next month, or no, actually 2 or 3 weeks, is where we would be playing these preseason games, kind of getting a sense of kind of team that we have.
Well, and since we can't get a sense of that today, we're going to have to pull out the time to pull out the pun to get us through till next week.
I don't know if this is a pun, but I think it's a sign of the times. Three patrons walk into a bar, and one of them asks for a Corona and two hurricanes. The barkeeper says that will be 2020.
That will be. All right. And it is. And that
will
have to hold us until next week when we're back once again with another hour of Sports Sidebar.